Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Horror Friendly Podcast. My name is Katie, and I am joined by none other than Chantal. Hello, Chantal.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Katie. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Sorry, I literally took a mouthful of coffee as you asked that question. When I knew the question was coming, we are clearly not getting better at this.
We're not, and this is our season finale, and we've still not gotten any better.
Come back next season. We'll have definitely improved with a week off.
A whole week to just relearn everything.
To remember.
To improve ourselves.
What we do. To improve ourselves. That's all it takes, guys, is 1 week to become a better you.
Yeah. We should stop being podcasters and turn into like self-help people.
With 1 week, I can make you better.
With just £200 deposit.
Yeah, and then we'll give you the secret. We're not just going to give it away for free.
No, I'm not giving you the secret formula.
To be fair, I feel like you could do that. You could do like a retreat, come here and you'll leave better. But because people do tend to leave holiday better, but because they haven't had to think about like work and rent and other bullshit for a week. So
it's true.
So really, we can make you better in a week. We just don't promise that it will be a prolonged change.
Yeah. Just don't live your normal life and you'll be fine.
Yeah. And then go back to being an arsehole in 2 weeks. It's not our fault.
Exactly. That's what we do.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think we've gone on a bit of a tangent here, mate.
No, new business plan. But should we cover this week's film then?
Let's
go
do
on,
it.
We'll stick with the podcast for
go
now.
Go on then.
Okay.
I'm going to hide this tape when I'm finished. If none of us make it, at least there'll be some kind of record. The storm's been hitting us hard now for 48 hours. We still have nothing to go on. One other thing. I think it rips through your clothes when it takes you over. Windows found some shredded long johns, but the name tag was missing. They could be anybody's. Nobody trusts anybody now. We're all very tired. Nobody trusts anybody now. There's nothing else I can do. Just wait.
So this week we decided to cover the 1982 John Carpenter's The Thing. A research team in Antarctica is hunted by a shape-shifting alien that assumes the appearance of its victims. Katie, what were your first thoughts?
First thoughts. I remember loving it when I first watched it, kind of like everyone else, I think, in the world. Yeah, absolutely loved it. I've always loved this film.
When did you first watch it?
Good question. It would have been a long time ago. Okay. It would have been one of those ones when I started getting into horror.
Right.
It was one I really kind of wanted to watch pretty early on.
Mm.
Just because I'd heard it was amazing. And then after I'd watched Halloween, it's obviously directed by John Carpenter. It kind of made me want to look into his films a little bit more. So yeah, I don't remember exactly when I watched this, but it would have been when I was like properly getting into horror. So a lot younger. But I hadn't seen it in so long, so it was really fun to like rewatch it again. That seems to sort of be a pattern with me at the moment, is that like I'd watched it like 15 years ago and I haven't watched it since. And it was the same with this one. I just hadn't seen it in ages, and I always see it on like lists with like, I mean, it's considered one of like the greatest horror films of all time, but like it's always like, because obviously we have a horror platform, I always see it like on our socials, and it's just so funny that we haven't covered it until now. But yeah, what did you think anyway?
So
oh my god, she's gonna hate it.
I was gonna say, there is you being like, I loved it like everyone else in the world.
Oh fuck,
I watched it and actually I realized I hadn't watched it before. Again, sci-fi horror has never really been my thing, which I went into this though, well, like I'm gonna love it because even though sci-fi horror isn't my thing, every time we've covered a sci-fi horror, I've loved it more than I thought I would. But
I can't.
It just went on and on and on. And it was, to me, it was just a bunch of guys in the snow, pointing the finger, pointing the blame, scene for like five scenes in a row. And I know that's to build the tension and the whole point is who did it. But it got to a point I didn't give a shit because I was like, just why are we still going on? And I felt bad because I went into this thinking I was going to love it. And I just didn't. And I think the problem is now everyone's listening going to just hang up right now and be like, fuck you, it's a great film. But I did Google it. And one of the first, I literally typed in the thing to try and get some information. And one of the first like Google automated questions is, why did the thing flop? So actually, when this was released in 1982, it had negative, this is a quote, I can't see from what web, oh, from Wiki, negative reviews that described it as instant junk and a wretched excess. So critics both praised the special effects achievements and criticized their visual repulsiveness, while others found the characterization poorly realized. So this is the thing, I loved the SFX. Some of it was a bit, I don't know, a little bit, I can't think of the right word, but it was just, you know what I mean, it was the 80s, so it's forgivable. But it, I don't know. But everything I looked up was, oh, greatest film ever. This is the greatest film ever. And I'm like, did I miss something? Did I watch the wrong film?
I was really, I mean, I don't know how much you have on it. We'll obviously cover that later. But I was really excited to hear your take on the SFX in this film, because I think that's one of the best things in this film. Like, to me, I think, I know it's obviously aged, but it's still, I'm sort of going to contradict myself by saying this, but it still is good. it's so effective and still like really disgusting to me.
Yeah, it is. I think there's parts where you can see that it's fake, but again, I also don't know. So for example, when they go to the Norwegian camp and they see the guy who slit his throat and his, but when you see that, like the blood just looked really fake, but I also don't know what blood looks like in minus 40. So I don't know if they'd kind of done that research and done it deliberately, or I don't know, but and again, like because some of it was like dripping, but obviously it had frozen kind of out of the guy's arm. To me, it looked a bit fake, but I also know what they were trying to do because it was like a frozen environment. And at that point, I just thought it looked a little bit plastic. But then you've got other bits, the fucking dogs and like the explosion. That was, oh my, there was so much that was so good. And then there was just, which is why I can forgive the not as good, because I also don't know if it was because it was in snow and what blood looks like when it freezes. Maybe they got it spot on.
So in terms of like your criticisms of it, are you saying that it was too long or that it took too long to get into?
I just say it got into it quite quickly with the dog.
Yeah.
And then everything was very, well, we're going to go here and figure this out and we're going to do this. And it just felt, again, I get that it was supposed to be like that horrible idea of like a group of people unable to trust each other. But I just, something about that I just didn't really vibe with, because I was just like, it's supposed to be a horror film. I'm supposed to be scared. And I'm actually just annoyed with these fuckwits arguing. And I'm like, if I was in the situation, I would be arguing with my comrades or whatever, because it'd be like, oh, who's the killer? Like, who's the thing? I'm not really understanding what's going on. But it just got, I don't know, it was just a lot of it for most of the film and it just got a bit annoying. I'm very sorry, because I'm very aware a lot of people were like, you were missing the genius, because there were little, I did watch a thing and I was like, all the little clues kind of sprinkled throughout. And I actually said to you, I watched it again today because I was trying to figure out, did I miss something? Was there, like, which again, I watched it twice now, even though I thought it was too long. Because I was like, was I missing some clues? Was it cleverer than I thought it was?
Yeah, so to disagree with you, I think that
Absolutely.
I think that the space between things happening to me is really effective, because you kind of you're shot more shocked, I think, when they do happen.
Yeah.
Like, trying to think of an example. Well, I mean, one of my favorite bits of the film was when they're testing their blood. And I think that was just an unbelievable scene, but it kind of went from them testing the blood to it just going absolutely like 0 to 100, where like one of them turns into the thing or like gets exposed as the thing. And then another person, like, it all just kind of happens quite quickly. And I know what you mean, where like things don't kind of like continuously happen, but I think that's what kind of makes the film great to me. So, I mean, the blood scene, I just thought was so good and kind of funny in some ways, because, you know, like when the blood's being tested, each guy's like, let me out then, let me out, like, let me out of this fucking chair. And then there's just a cut to like him holding the flamethrower. Thank you. Like literally holding the flamethrower. And then again, it comes to someone like, they test the blood, he's not the thing, and he's like, let me the fuck out.
Yeah.
And then again, it cuts to like him standing up, and it's just like, I think, yeah. So I think it really just goes from like 0 to 100 at that point.
And this thing, so the blood testing scene, I actually really liked. And it's when, I'm going to get all their names wrong. Windows. Yeah. So it's when Windows, his blood's getting tested. He looks fucking terrified. Because I think, again, the thing is so misunderstood. He's like, am I the thing? And I think that was, for me, really cool that they kind of showed that you would actually start questioning yourself.
Yeah.
But
100%.
Great. The blood scene was great. However, we'd already talked about the blood scene like 3 times and they tried to do the blood like twice. At this point is why I was like, just do the fucking blood. Just test the... And again, for me... For me, I was like, the blood scene was great, but why did we have to talk about it for half an hour? Why did we have to... Can you tell I'm a nightmare at work when I'm like, just do the fucking work. Like, we don't need 3 meetings about it. We don't need an email, a meeting about the email. Jesus Christ, just send the fucking... Like, I'm that person at work. So with this, I was like, I understand that the blood bags were gone and all that. But again, there's other ways to get blood out of people, which they figured out in the end. Just cut the thumb. Although in my head, like, completely the least of their problems. I was like, why would you cut the thumb? That's so sensitive. Whenever you touch something, I was like, cut the arm, because it's less likely to like irritate you every time you pick something up. So not their problem.
Probably, yeah, absolutely not their problem. Like they're just very trying low. To survive and not be kind of consumed by this thing in their body.
Very low priority on that list.
But yeah, like
I just bring that stuff forward.
Such a brilliant scene. And you do think at some points that MacReady is being like a super dick, but then it's like, actually, we probably would all act like that in this situation. You know, you have to look out for yourself in that situation.
Yeah, you do. And I think they do react, because they all react kind of differently, but quite, necessary.
Yeah.
I think when MacReady realized that he shot someone who was actually just human. But also, surely that was the giveaway, that they died by bullet, because every time they've tried to shoot the thing, it doesn't die. So
I think they just wanted to test it. But yeah, like, and then one of the guys says to him, yeah, that now makes you a murderer.
Yeah. And he already had that guilt, but like, it was too much. Yeah.
Aside from the shooting, I think that like, it is quite refreshing with this film that you see them make like clever decisions and like adult decisions, like they were saying about how they should all eat from cans and eat separately, and kind of like putting their resources to good use, and they were like figuring out who to have as a leader and things like that. Like, you see it so often in horror films where they're just making rookie mistakes, or, you know, like they even fucking reference it in Scream where they're like, she's running up the stairs and she should be running out the front door. Like, so I think with this film you don't get as frustrated with that side of things.
Yeah, they don't make stupid decisions, which is good. But also because I think it's an interesting like location choice and the crew that they chose to have, because you are looking at a group of scientists in the middle of fucking nowhere. Like, that way, do you know what I mean? If you're going to be someone who works in that environment, you have to take like survival training, and you have to be prepared, not for this necessarily, but I mean, I don't know what their training entails. Maybe it does entail, like, because I was going to say, like, a pack of wolves. I don't know what's in Antarctica. Polar bear, maybe?
Maybe.
Shit, should have looked that up first before I tried to sound smart. But you know what I mean? You have, but again, like they mentioned, like cabin fever is a real problem for people that work in such remote locations. So they are trained, which I think shows when they are making their, like, when they're doing decision making. Because they're not fucking around and, well, let's just run away then. Like, but then there are other things where, like, who was the guy? It burst out of his stomach and then he became like a crawling head.
I keep getting all their names the wrong way around.
So I'm going to use you.
I believe it was Norris.
Okay. So we're going to go with Norris. Even if it wasn't, everyone knows who Norris. I mean just from that scene.
Yes.
That head crawling, one of the coolest things in any horror film. I will give it that. But it's when he's like, just wait a minute. I was like, stomp on the fucking head. Like, in my head, I was like, just fucking stomp. And again, it's those decisions. And I'm like, I know they set it on fire once it became like a spider, but just set it on fire while it's a head. Like... At that point, I was like, come on, quicker decisions, guys.
Oh, it just made me so itchy, like seeing the head walking along. And then you thought, if you had not seen it before, you were like, oh shit, is it going to get away? And then it's just walking, and then they all just turn and look at it.
Yeah.
Like, they're like,
oh my God.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
Oh. But yeah, they should have stomped it before it grew legs. Like,
yeah. Very true.
Oh. Although I did want, yeah, because again, when we said about bullets, because that whole opening scene, they were trying to shoot the dog. Would it have made a difference if they had shot the dog? Because bullets don't seem to work anyway.
No, maybe it would have just put it down, like, slowed temporarily, but yeah.
Maybe it would have slowed it and then they'd have thrown one of the grenades, I suppose.
Yeah, something like that.
At first, I thought the dog was with them and they were, like, training it and he was shooting to direct it. Because he had such a terrible shot, I thought he was missing on purpose.
So, are you missing on purpose or are you just bad at this?
I was like, clearly he's just trying to get the dog to go left and right. So he's scared, like he's controlling the dog. No,
sweetie.
No. He was aiming for that. He was actually trying to aim.
Yeah, no, he was trying to kill the dog.
He was actually trying his best. That's what's slightly scary.
Yeah. He was on his game, in his A game.
But this is it, I suppose. When you have people in that environment, you look at some of their job roles. You've got a helicopter pilot, a senior biologist, the cook, assistant mechanic. None of their job roles necessarily mean really good with a gun.
No, very true.
So he could have been the cook. He could have been their dog handler. He could have been the radio operator. So maybe he'd never held a gun before. In which case, I apologise, Mr. Norwegian. But you really did have a terrible shot.
Yeah. Tell slagging you off right now, mate.
I am. I'm also going to slag off the guy that tried to throw a grenade and threw it over his shoulder. Like, yes. What the fuck?
Yeah, that wasn't the one, was it? I mean,
had he not thrown it over his shoulder, he would have just thrown it at the group, the American group.
Yeah.
And they were all just stood in a semicircle. Like, the whole film would have just been much shorter.
Yeah, it was funny, like, seeing all the Americans just look at this and just being like, what the fuck is happening right now? Like, because they don't know why they're shooting at this dog and, like, they haven't got a clue. So they're just kind of, like, calmly watching as this happens.
Yeah. This is... I thought I had seen this before, actually, because I'd seen that opening scene because somebody had said to me, and I think this is, like, common knowledge now, but I'm going to say it anyway. When that Norwegian guy is shouting at them in Norwegian... He's saying the plot of the film.
Really?
Did you know this?
No.
Oh, did you know? Okay, cool. Maybe it's not as well known as I thought.
Oh, well, yeah, just because I don't know it.
Just because you don't. Well, you know everything horror.
I don't. I definitely don't.
I can't tell you the exact translation off the top of my head, but it is something like, what are you doing? Get away from that dog. That dog's not a dog. It's a thing. He literally says, like, it's this thing. It's evil, rah, rah. So he is basically explaining the plot of the film, which means if you speak Norwegian and you were in the cinema, you like that was given away quickly, which is quite cool. But yeah, I love it when they sneak shit like that in films.
Yeah. Like,
so you realize the plot was actually given away in the first 30 seconds.
It's funny though, because even if one of them did speak Norwegian or he said it in English, would they have believed him anyway?
Yeah, like that dog's not a dog. You're like, what? It's clearly a husky.
It
like,
it's a beautiful boy as well.
So well trained. Mm. All of those dogs.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, amazing. I know. I just wanted to be. Well, I wouldn't have fucking wanted to be there. Jesus fucking Christ. Not with what comes later.
Yeah,
but
true.
pre the thing, I would have loved to have just been in that. Kill the little huskies. They weren't little, but they were amazing.
So he was a big husky, but he was. I don't know how they trained him because he wasn't acting like a dog. I know that sounds really stupid. But like when he was under the pool table, he had his head up because he was like listening. There was little things and I don't know how they managed to do it, but he was acting like a dog, but not. Like everywhere he walked really calmly and deliberately.
Yeah, you're
and
right.
I was like, dogs don't walk like that. So I don't know how he managed to do it. Obviously the
That's
bit at the
very
beginning
true.
When he's running like a dog, but because even when he goes in the dog cage, he goes in really slow and calm, and I'm like, none of them huskies are howling either, which is weird.
That is really weird. And like the fact, yeah, and you're right, like maybe the dog jumps and kind of like jumped up at the guy before to kind of like try and sort of trick him in some way into believing that he's just a normal dog.
Well,
I'm just like everyone else. But
so this is a thing, because I feel like I'm biased because I love dogs, but I feel like it is a thing where like if you're in a coffee shop or a pub or something where they allow dogs, or if you're in the park and if a dog comes up to you, you're the chosen one, and it makes you feel great. Like the dog loves you more than chasing its own tail right now. You are God to that dog. You are God. It's a great feeling. So if that dog, although it's running from bullets, jumps up to you, you're going to be like, this is my boy, he's a good boy, he's my boy. But dogs can also lick your face without people immediately going, ooh, what are you doing? Which means whatever the thing is doing, it can easily lick people and spread its chemicals without any concern. Like you wouldn't judge a dog for licking your face.
No.
So it's very clever.
Yeah, very clever. I didn't really think about it, like the dog's characteristic, like the mannerisms and stuff.
Obviously, I was only watching the dog.
Yeah, you were just watching the good boy. But then, yeah, because the dog goes into a room and there's like a silhouette of a man, but you never know or find out who it is. But it's just a silent thing where he just kind of silently walks in and then it just fades out. It's so effective.
And again, like my dogs never came into a room that quietly. My dogs came bursting into the fucking, you knew they were there. interestingly though, that shadow on the wall was actually, they hired a different actor to basically just be the shadow, so that you couldn't definitively say who it was. So but you could see they had curly hair, which meant you could kind of go, oh, it might be that crew member or that crew member. But because you could not definitively define the silhouette, it could have been any of them.
Yes. Like maybe not MacReady, because he had just like long, luscious locks.
Also, weren't three of them at the Norwegian place at this point?
I think so, yeah. I think you can rule out some people.
Yeah.
But that's really clever as
not
well.
Not enough. Yeah. It's so subtle.
So subtle. This being like John Carpenter's big first film, I know you didn't enjoy it as much, but I think it's such and as you said, it wasn't as enjoyed then as it is now. But for it to be his big first feature film is pretty amazing, really.
And I do appreciate it because, again, people are still talking about this 40 years later. Like, it is a film I'd heard of. I knew the Norwegian fact, even though I hadn't seen the film. For some reason, I knew that fact. So it is like, the writing is good. I think, again, in a very 80s, 70s kind of film way, they wanted to show you everything. They wanted to show you around this scientific bunker that we've made and show you the beautiful landscape. But the reality, I just don't care. You just don't need to see it all. I just don't need to see all the bickering. Like,
See, I really, yeah. So I see what you mean, but I really liked that because you get to learn the characters a bit more. You see them in their normal way of working or their normal state. And I think that is what makes it all the more horrific, because you're seeing them in their everyday life, which is that they're normal. And then it all just, all the shit hits the fan. And I think that's what makes it sort of scarier.
Yeah, no, I can see that. I feel like I'm a bit... I feel like I'm MacReady who just wants to go and have a nap. And I'm just like, can you hurry up and tell me, like, I don't want to come and sit in your truck. Just tell me the fucking whatever it is you've discovered. I don't care. And it's really bad secret. But I'm like, again, I'm like, he could have fucking told him that. Why did they have to change location? Why did they... Things like that. I'm like, just fucking tell him the big reveal.
So, I mean, let's talk about the dog scene. So, I mean, where do we even start with it? I mean, so did you like the SFX in this first?
Yes. And again, like, I think you can be a bit forgiving in that. Sometimes you could almost tell they were probably animatronics and a little bit robotic-y because just the way they were moving. But again, I think you can get away with that because this is supposed to be an alien creature that we don't really know what it is. So it could move, I guess, in any way it wants to.
Yeah.
Although I do find that contrast funny that it can be a human and move perfectly like the actors, and then all of a sudden it's like this really staggery thing while it's transforming. But yeah, that was fucking horrific when that poor dog was like biting through the wires to get out. Like, these dog actors are fucking fantastic, I'm just saying it. And then like the fucking everything that was coming out of him, like, they must have had a lot of fun with this to like
a lot of fun
just make it as creepy and disgusting as possible.
And so it's interesting when you say, like, well, because obviously this isn't, they're not basing it off anything. Like, this thing is interpreted in kind of any way.
Yeah.
So the production team must have had such a field day, because you've just got creative freedom to just kind of like add in any old shit in there, like anything horrific they had in there. Like that thing that they like sprayed the dog with, like that liquid that came out. And like every single time a person or a dog was infected by the thing, it was always a different kind of thing. It was always a different way of kind of infecting them. Whether it was like the hands, so when that guy has those like claw hands, and like, just there's so much. So yeah, the production team must have just absolutely loved it, because they could just do whatever they wanted with it, really.
Yeah. And I think that is it. I think I put down, I actually did double check, because obviously the stomach bursting bit, my brain went straight to Alien. So I was like, that's cool to be paying homage to that. But it also only came out 3 years earlier. So a little bit risky doing it that close, I guess, because everyone would have been like, well, that's clearly ripping off Alien, as opposed to doing from a film 20 years earlier. But then it's also kind of like, it does kind of work for the film. So
it really does.
If they'd gone with a face hugger, it would have been a problem.
Yeah, that would have been been a ripoff.
Little too obvious there.
Yeah, just a bit. Yeah, fucking Ripley just turns up. It's like, what film are we watching now?
It's like, you bastards.
Wrong film, guys. But yeah, that this chest compression scene is, again, it just, when you see his chest open up, and just his hands just disappear. It's just, genius cinema.
No, it's really fucking good. So the chest chomp scene, as they call it, where Dr. Cooper attempts to revive, doesn't say arrive, Norris, with the defib. Obviously his chest bursts open, and then that was all like mechanical and ready to chomp down. So the way they did that, which you said you really loved, with his arms getting ripped off, so the way they did that, they had false arms and they hired a double amputee, so he could put the arms, the false arms were attached to him. So when he put his arms into the body and they got pulled off, it actually was like they could be removed because they were just attached to someone who was a double amputee. And then the arms were filled with wax bones, rubber veins and jello, so they would all go, and be disgusting in the stomach mouth.
That is so cool.
Which is really cool, isn't it? I was like, that's why the effects look so good, is because they were basically done as realistic as they could be.
Yeah, that's amazing.
There is a lot on the SFX for this one. So either I'm going to nerd out, or if I miss loads, go and do the research, because It's really interesting. There is a shit ton on her.
Hey, nerd out, go for it. This is
Nerd out.
what this podcast is all about. Yeah.
No, I love that everything as well was like green, which you instinctively kind of associate with alien. This is the thing. It kept like, I think it was only because MacReady said, like, oh, it's from outer space or whatever. There was nothing to actually confirm that it was like an alien species.
No.
We're all just assuming it is.
Yeah. Yeah,
So,
100%.
yeah, it could have been from Earth. It could have just been, it could have been a fucking prehistoric creature. But because
Yeah.
they hadn't seen it before, they were associating it with space. Oh, I
That's
suppose the
why
spaceship was a bit of a giggle.
it... Well, I think again that's kind of what makes this film so good is that it is a sci-fi film and a lot of people kind of insinuate it as some sort of life form, some alien life form, extraterrestrial thing. But it's not fully explained that if it is that or not, as you've quite rightly said. So even if you're like not into sort of sci-fi or kind of aliens or anything like that, like it's still horrific because you don't quite know what it is. So if you're like, oh, it's an alien film, I'm not gonna like that, still give it a chance because it's not necessarily an alien film. Like you don't know what the fuck it is. So if anyone's ever like, don't know about that, I'm not really into kind of like sci-fi horror, like watch it because it's well, Tell isn't a good example because she doesn't like sci-fi horror and wasn't a fan of this. But still give
Again.
it a chance. Still give it a chance because it's, in my opinion, just a gem of a horror film. But you know, this is what this is all about. Different
Yeah.
opinions, different views.
I do see why it stays with people because obviously, at the end, obviously, they're still a bit unknown. I just, yeah, I don't know. Something about the middle where I'm like, just speed it up a little. Maybe again, I think that's just me. I have a terrible attention span. So I completely understand why I may be on my own there. But. Oh, I feel because this is the thing. The scenes that were good were really good. I just didn't care about the filler stuff. Oh God, I sound like such a bitch. You go make a movie, Chantelle. Let's see how good yours is.
This is a podcast. This is what it's for. You
No,
got
I
to
know.
critique this stuff. This is what we're doing.
I know.
It's totally fair.
I think that was the thing. I literally was like, I have to watch this again because everyone says it's such a great film. It's best film ever, and I'm just like. I just don't get it. So, if you're one of those people who's like, this is my absolute favorite film, please explain to me why. What have I missed? And that's not me
That's
being
what we're
like,
doing now.
well, yeah, it's true. But I'm just like, I want to know what I've missed. What is it?
Russell.
Well, should we talk about Kurt Russell, Katie?
I would absolutely love nothing more. I sent Chantel a questionable WhatsApp the other day at quite an inappropriate moment, but I didn't know that at the time. But we move.
Well, you made it sound like I was mid-shag or something when you said
Yeah. That wasn't quite what was going on, but yeah, yep. So I've seen this film a few times, but only this time had I really appreciated the beauty of Kurt Russell. And I've always thought Kurt Russell was a handsome man, but in other films that I've seen him in. But yeah, he just hit different this time.
Love you. Love a bit of a.
1982 Kurt Russell, slide into my DMs.
You love a bit of a hairy berry.
Well, I guess so.
I don't. Okay. Like, not it. Don't be wrong. Good looking guy. What was with the cowboy hat? Oh, did the cowboy hat? Because,
Any
like,
man looks 10 times better in a cowboy hat.
which I'm not
You've heard
going to
it here
disagree.
first.
I'm not going to disagree with, but it was the fact that he was like, I'm going to go fly the helicopter and then put on a cowboy hat. And I was like, are you riding a horse? Like, what is about to happen? And then he had to
Oh.
put his hood up under the hat. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? Why that hat? Like, you're in the middle of the Antarctica. Surely one of
Why
those,
not that hat, Tell? Why not that hat?
because you're in the middle of the Antarctica, surely you want one of those like Russian hats that has all the fur at the front and covers your ears.
Because he's
Because he's
hunky.
Kurt fucking Russell. That's
Because he's Kurt Russell. He's fucking MacReady. That's why.
why. I just, it was the hat. It just lost me. I was like, I'm sorry, did I miss the hat?
Did the hat give you the ick?
It didn't give me the ick. I was just like, I mean, There's a time and a place for a cowboy hat, Katie. And it's not on a helicopter in the middle of Antarctica.
I think that could be the quote of the season.
Of the season. Ah, oh, high praise.
Yeah, of the season. Well, I was just going to add, I just found this little fact, which I thought was really cool, actually, that John Carpenter wasn't the first choice to direct the film, which I didn't know. I shall tell you, Chantel. It was actually going to be Toby Hooper who directed Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Did some drafts of a screenplay and the studio didn't like it. So they were like, nope, back to Carpenter.
Wow.
Yeah. So we could have had a very, possibly very different film.
But I don't know, like, would it have been much darker? Would it have been...
I'd love to find out, like, what he was planning to do with the film.
How dark was it? They went, no, no, no.
Then Leatherface comes along.
Yeah, which...
Oh, Meat Hooks.
Well, at least he found a place to vent his artistic skills.
Oh, here we go. There's a list. I can tell you.
Oh.
So it's very different. So this is from All the Right Movies. I'm getting this from. So some of the main differences were the alien in Hooper's version did not shapeshift or assimilate hosts. It just ate them. So just kind of straight to the fucking point, which maybe you would have preferred that.
Maybe. I don't know why that made me laugh so much. Just ate them.
Just ate them. No big deal. I argue with that because I like the fact that it gets into your body and, like, even the person possibly at some point doesn't even know, like, or probably doesn't know at the beginning that they're being, it's taken hold of them. So I liked that instead of just the fact that they ate them or consumed them. I preferred that it was a bit more. The main character was called the Captain, and the film was about his obsessive mission to find and kill the thing.
Oh.
And Hooper wanted his film to be a horror comedy with lots of slapstick humor. Apparently there was a scene where a character gets caught by the thing after literally slipping on a banana skin.
Oh no.
Oh, Toby.
Oh, Toby.
Lawrence Truman, the producer, said it would have been one of the worst films ever made.
And yet, I want to see it. No,
I kind of want to see this version.
I want to see that version only to, like, compare and contrast, not because I think it would have been better. It's
yeah, definitely to compare. But yeah, no, so then they got John Carpenter in the end, who I think was a big hit with everyone. Like, the cast really got on with him, and Kurt Russell ended up working up with him on a lot of projects afterwards, and they became like almost like a little partnership, which is really nice. I think Kurt Russell had a lot of, like, creative control of his character and of the things on the set, which I think is really fun. So he, like, was able to get really involved in this film, which I think is great.
I do like that it was a shapeshifter. Again, I think we've, especially up till this point, we'd have seen a lot of this is the monster and this is what to expect. So I did like that aspect that we didn't know what to expect. We didn't know what it could look like. And again, that's that paranoia it was showing build up.
Yeah, I liked it too.
Yeah, and I did actually see it was Carpenter said, what I didn't want to end up with in this movie was a guy in a suit. I grew up as a kid watching science fiction monster movies and it was always a guy in a suit. So
nice.
I get that, and I get the, actually, let's try something different. Let's try something else.
It can come off really, really well, a guy in a suit, but sometimes you can get it really wrong. So I understand that.
And I lost it already. But it was Bottom that suggested making the creature's violent transformations and the appearance of the internal organs more realistic using colours. So this is where I said, like, there was very red, but I wonder if that was intentional. But there was a decision made to tone down the colour of the blood and viscera, although much of the filming had been completed at that point, so that would have been in post. But it was also, so Stan Winston was also brought in to help complete the effect, and especially when, like, the thing assimilating dogs and stuff. And that was all done through, like, puppeteers and everything as well. But it took 50 people to operate the Blair thing.
Wow.
Puppet. So, like, fucking crazy what was going on behind the scenes.
So my famous question, Tel, would you have liked to have worked on this film?
I'm going to go with yes, because I think it would have been, like, a lot of creativity. I think I would have been that annoying person, like, hey, Mr. Carpenter, like, let's put more in. Let's put more disgusting things in, because... I'd have been like, hey, you know, this really big gap, let's put more disgusting things in. I'd love to there. I did see where apparently they made it so that if everyone was in a group, you could actually tell who, if anyone was the thing, because you know, like when they do a close up on an actor, you can see like a glint in their eye. They didn't have that. If someone was the thing, so in the blood scene, I was gonna say sunglasses, that's not his nickname. Windows. Is it Windows?
Yeah, it was Windows.
It was a Windows. Apparently he was called Windows because he was always wearing sunglasses. That's why it was a man. But he didn't have a glint in his eye, which was the giveaway. So again,
Ah,
like little
that's
things
very
like,
cool.
yeah, little things like that. But I'd have liked to, I don't know, find a way to put another clue in there, maybe. But again, that's just me overthinking it.
So, what did you think of the ending?
So I think I was again, there's me being like, oh, it's such a long film. When it suddenly ended, I was like, that was the end, because
We can't win with you,
we
Tal.
can't fucking win. No, but there wasn't a conclusion, which I do kind of like, and I get that that's why this film is still talked about. Again, I was watching a thing where it was like, oh, the ending explained, or the ending, like their theory on it, obviously trying to figure out was either of them the thing, was the thing still there? But apparently it was all set up because there was supposed to be a second one. And I know that later on there was a prequel, but it was all set up that it could lead on so that the thing hadn't completely disappeared.
Oh, wow.
I've blanked on the second guy's name. Who's the second survivor? Was it Charles?
Childs.
Yes, it was. I was right. So I quite like the theory that Charles was the thing, and that's why he says something like, well, shall we go, like, go look for help or go get help or something? And then MacReady's like, no, we should stay here and wait and see. And then as well, he takes the drink from the bottle. And as you said earlier, they weren't supposed to be sharing things. So that little smirk from MacReady is almost like, huh, fuck.
Yeah, well, fuck.
Yeah, well, bollocks. But I also don't know for sure. I don't know for sure.
No. Well, there's a
Yeah.
theory that you can't see Childs' breath when he's talking, but you can
Yes.
see MacReady's. So that's another indicator that Childs is the thing.
Yeah, it's very subtle, something like that. Again, like his eyes don't glint, but again, it was filming at night. It would have been really hard to kind of get that glint in there. So
Yeah.
also, but he also left his post. I think he is. I think he's the thing.
I think he is too.
Yeah.
But no, I agree. I loved that ambiguous ending because, yeah, it literally is just a well fuck moment. It's just like, okay, well, this is what's happening. Yeah. And it's just, oh yeah, why don't we just sit here for a minute and see what happens? And just the way it ends like that, I just think is fucking genius.
Somebody did say that that wasn't a bottle of booze. That was a what do you call it when you turn a bottle of booze into a bomb? A Molotov cocktail. It was a Molotov cocktail. So I was like, in which case, but I was like, wasn't MacReady drinking from it as well?
Yeah.
So maybe it
Maybe
wasn't.
they just thought fuck it or
Fuck
something.
it, if I'm going out. But that's what
Yeah.
I do kind of like that about this crew. And again, I think it's that sort of mentality where if you're in a job like this and you're trained up for like survival scenarios, it is very much that if there is a threat to humanity, you are going to die to protect humanity. But
Yeah.
all of them had kind of accepted that. So
Yes.
Child saying like, oh, well, we should go, is that makes no sense.
No. So that's true, though. That's kind of out of character for that group of people because up until then, they were all thinking pretty logically and making smart decisions. And suddenly he says that, and it's like, hang on a minute, that's not a smart decision. Like,
All of them are like,
that's kind of out of character for him.
yeah, they're all like, I can't remember what they say. We'll die before we let it leave, or whatever it was, some very inspiring
Yeah.
quote that I clearly can't remember. But it just,
Yeah.
I love the fact though as well. It was going to be a bottle of booze they shared. But I forgot to mention at the beginning when George got shot and MacReady comes over, like, George, you okay? And then he just leaves him a bottle of booze and wanders up, like goes off to
Yeah.
check on the Norwegian. And
Yeah.
George is just chugging it. I was like, yes.
Yes, George.
What else is there to do? It's great.
Yeah.
Sorry, I talked a lot. What were your thoughts on the
No.
ending?
Yeah, I liked how I like the ambiguous ending. I really liked it. I've said this before, but I'm a fan of not so happy endings for a horror film. I just think they're so much more effective. Sometimes I do like a good end, a successful sort of like satisfying ending for a horror
Yeah.
film, but a lot of the time I'm a bit of a bleak bitch, and I love a bleak ending. But
No, I am with you on that.
yeah, I just think like it kind of emphasizes the horror a lot more, and we are watching horror at the end of the day. You know, we're not watching something
Yeah.
happy and kind of lighthearted a lot of the time. So yeah, I agree with you. I absolutely loved it. I absolutely love the ending. Just the simplicity of just like, let's just wait and see what happens, and then it just kind of fades out, and you just don't know what happens to them.
No, that's true.
So yeah, really kind of horrifying.
Yeah. One thing I did see that was really cool was actually when they're sat there and everything's like around them is just burning. So that took, I think it said 8 hours to set up because of how cold it was. It took like eight
Oh
hours
shit.
to kind of get everything like lit. But once everything was burnt down, Carpenter then went back and then they filmed the scenes from like the Norwegian camp. So they used the same science. They built like one science place. And then once it was all burnt down and destroyed, they used that as the base for the Norwegian kind of remains, which I thought was
Right.
quite, that was quite clever. That was very well planned, I think,
That's
rather than
very cool.
destroying two things.
One thing I was going to ask you, sorry, we're a bit back and forth on
Yeah, it's fine.
today's episode, but what do you think of like the off-screen deaths? Because there were a few where you kind of you just assume that they're dead, but you don't like see it happening.
I
Did you
think
would you have
that,
preferred to have seen each one?
yeah, and I think that was part of maybe part of my like boredom was like so many people were dying and actually they were all
You weren't
just
seeing.
fighting and they're like, oh, well, it's you, it's you, it's you. And I was like, but we haven't, even as the audience, we don't know what's going on. So we haven't seen any of these deaths. So I think as a like, who did it? But again, I understand why people like it as a film because it kind of teases the audience as well. But I wanted to see more of the gore. Yeah, I'd have preferred a few more
Yeah.
deaths. Started to break up those gaps. I think would have been really cool. I did find what was one interesting when I said as well about the puppets. I assumed I just and again this we say this always happens where we get all our research done and then the fucking thing comes up at the last second. I said about those puppets. So obviously when they were acting in that, they were looking at them. They weren't. The puppets were kind of done later. So actually, they were having to describe to the actors what they were looking at. So they were like, okay, so you're looking at this horrifying thing, and they had to react accordingly. So that like 50 person, because I suppose that does make sense
Oh
because they'd all be
wow, it
doing
does make
close-ups.
sense.
So yeah, they just hadn't occurred to me until I saw that line, and it was
That is interesting.
interesting.
I will have to kind of somewhat agree with you on the kills, though. I think I would have liked to have seen a few more just because I absolutely love the SFX in this
Yeah.
and just the whole look of the film. So I would have liked to have seen a bit more of that.
Yeah, I would have.
I didn't mind some of the off-screen deaths because, again, it kind of gives it a bit of an eerie vibe. But I definitely would have liked to have seen a few more. I do agree with that. I think because the SFX was so good, they could just maybe it was to do with budget, I don't know, but I just feel like they could have ramped it up a little bit.
Yeah. I think that's pretty much it. So I just wanted to see more.
Yeah, wanted to see more gore. But what we did see was unbelievable, so it just left us wanting more.
Yeah, no, definitely. I will say as well, so Keith David, who played, and I've just said his bloody name, Charles, he broke his hand the day before he was in a car accident the day before shooting began. So when he attended film the next day, but his hand was all still swollen. So Carpenter and Franco sent him to hospital. And then it was punctured with two pins. So when he came back, he had a surgical glove. It was a black one, and they painted it to match his complexion. And then his left hand is actually not seen for the first half of the film. So very cleverly they've managed to hide his hand, which I suppose in the
Wow.
Antarctic you could just put gloves on. But
Yeah.
again, it's one of those where I'm always like looking at
Odd.
the makeup and that, and you don't think about
No,
things like that. You
so
do hear
much.
it where people get injured and then they have to hide that on scene as well. I think it's incredible.
Yeah. It
I'm
is
gonna next time
incredible.
I watch it, I'm like, where's his left hand? Where's his left hand?
Yeah. So much was going on in this film. It's
Yeah.
amazing.
We haven't even talked about one. So, like the computers, again, I think that's the one thing that kind of like ages it is when you're looking at those computers.
Yeah.
And the Father MacCready kills the computer. And then they say, like, oh, what, we're the first week of winter. I'm like, great. So he's already destroyed his chess machine. What are you going to do for the next 3 months, 4 months?
Yeah.
Come on, MacReady.
Come on, MacReady. Sort it out. But aside from him being the love of my life, did you like him? Did you like him as a protagonist, like a main character?
I think he was a realistic protagonist. Mm. I think, again, it's one of those I think he was very hasty again. But that's it. I think, unfortunately, he had to be in a situation where it was like kill first, check later. And I think, unfortunately, he was the only one kind of willing to step up and make those decisions, which, yes, although sometimes wrong, were necessary. Mm. So I think he was an imperfect protagonist, which I think we kind of like. But yeah, I think he's quite realistic. Like, if you were in that situation, you would be kind of having to shout at everyone. Because like, as soon as, I can't remember one of their names, but he's like, okay, you guys go off together. And he immediately is like, well, I'm not going with him. I'll go with him. And he's like, no, right now you just need to do what you're fucking told. Like,
yeah.
I think that's quite realistic, like that wind up.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. And like his idea of the testing the blood and all of that, and all of them looking so terrified, thinking, oh, fuck, am I the thing? Am I going to get shot?
Yeah. And I think that's part of it as well, is like, they were trying to think of ways to figure out who was the thing rather than just constantly trying to run from it. Like, they were trying to find ways to uncover, which I thought was quite clever. Although, again, in my head, I'm like, just burn everything. Like, don't bring that thing.
Everyone.
Don't bring that thing back from the Norwegian camp. Just, it's like, oh, that's going to win someone the Nobel Prize. I'm like, it's going to kill you all. Fucking burn it to the ground. Like,
I know. I know. When they brought it back, I was like, why have you done this, guys? Like, I know you're curious, but...
I know you're curious, but just no. Wait till, like, summer when... No, but wait till summer when, like, people can access where you are. Actually, that's true. They didn't just try and fly away. Oh, but again, that is it, isn't it? It's like, no, we're going to kill it and protect the world.
Yeah, that's what they were doing. They were our protectors. Good old MacReady.
Before we ask the next question, because this is relevant, can the thing be more than one thing? For example, can it be, because it was the dog, but then they brought that thing back from the Norwegian camp, can it be both? Or does it jump? Or does it... Because I'm sure, because when it was the dog, it went into the room with the shadow, and then it went into the dog cage. So actually, did it infect the person who was the shadow before it moved on? Or was it still just the dog and that was just to throw us off?
I think it's only one thing, because only one person was affected at each point. So it wasn't like there was like multiple infections going on. It was always kind of just like one person.
So when it went into that room with the shadow, it made no difference anyway, because the dog was still the thing.
But it's insinuated that when he goes in the room, when the dog goes in the room, he is infecting someone.
Yeah, but then he's... Or is it just like, does it take their DNA and then transforms into it later?
Yes, I think... Well, yeah, it must do that, because you're walking around like a normal person for a certain amount of time before it's exposed.
I'm really confused. Because like, when it kills all the dogs, it tries to like absorb them.
Yeah.
But then even if it did turn into the person in the room, the person in the room was still in the person in the room. I'm so... Can the thing be more than one thing? I would say no, except for that scene. That is what has thrown me.
I would say no too. But yeah, I know what you mean.
Because our next question is obviously, would you survive the thing? But I need to know, shouldn't it be more than one?
Let's go with no, because that's what we think. But okay, we could be wrong. Listeners, if you guys have a bit more insight into this, please let us know, because we're genuinely interested.
Mr. Carpenter, I have some questions. Because once it was in the dog cage and it transforms and absorbs the other dogs, and then it talks about, because the science guy talks about it absorbing things. Because when it's like just a bloody mass on, because that's the other thing, actually, it was like a bloody mass on the table and it came back to life. The one from the Norwegian camp, and the dog was there. So actually it's two things. Unless that thing had a brother, I don't know if I know.
Yeah. Okay, I see what you mean. listeners, help us out. But for the sake of would we survive?
Would we survive? One thing.
Yeah. This is a really hard one to answer because you just don't know. Because no one, it's not like a slasher where you're like, no, I'd make better decisions. I do this, I do that. Because all of them were making good decisions and that didn't help your situation.
No,
being smart made no difference really. It probably kept them alive for a bit longer, but it eventually. So I'm going to say no, because I think it's just so unpredictable that I think it kind of gets them all eventually. What about you?
I'm going to say no. One, because it comes in as a dog and I'm fucked, because I'll immediately be like, who's a good boy? I'll be the fucker with the dog in my bedroom. I'll be like, yeah, I can sleep in here. That's fine.
It's my new best friend.
My new best friend. What's the problem? I'm here for several months. I don't want to talk to any of you dickheads. I'll talk to the dog. But also, even if someone else like took the dog away, or even if it came in as a cat and I wasn't interested, one, as we've said, they've all been trained that we are going to protect humanity from any threat we find up here. So they're all under the mentality that they're going to die protecting whatever is going on. And also, even if you do survive, like the two at the end, they're just going to freeze to death. So actually,
it's very hard to survive, I think.
Yeah, trying to survive this is a nightmare. Like, it's just not going to happen.
I bet Charlie would find a way.
I could fly the helicopter. But again, that would be because Charlie would not see our argument of, yes, but they've all been trained to die in this scenario.
Okay, right. I'm quite interested in this now. So, Chantel, for our season finale, this will be the last time probably for like a few days. I'm saying it as if we're going on like a year break.
I know, yeah, we'll be back soon. Yeah,
we'll be back very soon. But the last time of this season,
mm-hmm.
And actually, I'm going to quickly say that I've really enjoyed this season and we've done some absolute banging films. And we're so excited with all these new followers that we've had and all this like recognition and everything. Been really grateful. And it's been an awesome season.
Yeah, well said. We did screw ourselves a little bit because we picked some really good films this season. Because every time I was like, oh my god, our scores are always like really high.
I know. So, we've got to get some stinkers in there, haven't we?
Yeah, we need some more Sharknados.
Guys, if you have any recommendations or anything, we'd love to hear your ideas.
Shit films.
What do you like? Do you like us doing kind of sequels? Me and Tel were talking earlier about kind of covering films that we haven't necessarily, neither of us have necessarily watched before. So yeah, just give us a shout if there's anything you want us to specifically cover, because we're all ears.
There have been some suggestions on the Instagram actually, so I'll have to dig them out as we come up with our next seasons.
But.
Oh, so thank you. Yes. Well said though, Katie.
Okay, Chantel, go on. Break my heart. What is your favourite spooky moment and how many spookies are we giving it out of five?
So my favourite spooky moment is going to be the head just crawling across the floor using its tongue, because,
top tier.
So fucking good. I'm going to give it a two. I'm so sorry. It's not even half, but I just... And I had to watch this twice to be like, what am I missing? What does everyone else see in this film that I'm missing? And I'd love it to be explained to me. But yeah, I love the SFX. I think it's a good story. I just think it was dragged out too much. So I'm very sorry. If this was a book, it would have been like 500 pages long and it could have been told in 200. And that breaks my heart a little bit. I'm really sorry. Katie, over to you. What's your favourite spooky moment before you unfriend me?
I unalive you. Okay, fine. We've all got our opinions. My favourite spooky moment, I think it's actually going to be the chest compression. I just think that's so fucking fun. And proper, like, gory, proper horror-esque. And it's just one thing that you just really remember from this film. So I just love it. And I'm going to give it 5 spooky score, spooky stars, whatever we're calling it, spookies. I love this film so much. Got a lot of time for it. I can't believe I've left it till this long to rewatch it. And I might have to watch it again now because I'm
Got a
just
crush on Kurt
trying to...
Russell.
Yes, and Kurt
Russell.
Russell. Because Kurt Russell, I mean, I don't really have to explain. But so I'm giving it 5 to end the
It's
season.
very rare that you and I have such differing opinions on a film. How
That's
weird.
actually really true.
I'm so sorry it was one of your favorites, but it is what it is.
That's cool. That makes it different. It makes it interesting. You know, we can't always agree, and that's what this podcast is about.
You're being very calm in your head. You're actually going, I can't believe I'm friends with this twat.
I'm going to sign off here and be like, oh my fucking
So you're going to text me immediately and be like, I cannot believe what you just did.
God.
But
Yeah. You absolute cunt. Why have you done
yeah,
this?
fuck you. But that was our episode of The Thing. Join us again in a couple of weeks for our next season with some fresh films. And yes, do drop us a message if you've got any suggestions. We love hearing from you. And until then, bye.
Bye-bye. Don't
Don't
die.
die. Oh, we nearly seen Chris.
Kurt Russell, slide in the DMs.
What would you do if he actually did?
Oh my God. Make my
He's
bloody year.
just absolutely fangirl.